Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat podcast. Today is episode 166. The headline, Estevao Wows at Sellhurst Park. I'm Chris. And I'm joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. How are we feeling, guys? We are cruising up the table.
Well, we were briefly in the heights of fourth, weren't we? Until Manchester United got a surprise win down the Emirates. But yeah. Still happy, fifth place. Champions League places, or should be. Anyway.
Just for clarity, Chris does not have a Man United top on. It's an England top.
England. Come on, Lions.
I mean, first, I think it was November, the last time we won two in a row in the league. So, it hasn't been pretty under Rossini, 4 out of 5, but he's starting to get results, and that'll do at the moment.
That's what he's paid to do. Look, we're going to get into it. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the pod. Leave us some love wherever you're listening or watching on YouTube or your favourite podcast platform. Also rate the podcast wherever you want. 5-star reviews, always handy for us. But let's get into the game. Let's talk about Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 3. I think it was a game... where Chelsea have 57% possession, 6 shots on target out of 10, 5 saves out of 7 for Sanchez. So quite a busy afternoon for him in the end. Obviously, Palace reduced to 10 men. They actually had 4 yellow cards and a red, or 2 yellows, if you like. Obviously, Wharton was sent off. We're going to get straight into it. We're going to talk about likes and dislikes. Brady, I'll come to you first. What have you got for me for this game? How are you feeling about it?
My like for this game was, I was actually wondering it and thinking about it during the game, and then Rossini commented on it post-match. Playing in transition a bit more. People behind the ball. For the first goal, comes from transition. And it's a mistake from the guy, Anvo, the 20-year-old Palace defender who's come in for Gaye. But we were in transition. What he said was basically a bit of a lower block, and usually pacing behind a little bit. And the second goal was a little bit like that. And I think we do have a lot of players that are very fast. And if you can kind of merge, not Poch ball and Maresca ball, but if you can sometimes play in like the mid-block transition, Chelsea can be very, very good. And we struggle oftentimes breaking low blocks down. So if you recede to the territory a bit and just play on the break a bit in some parts of the game, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think with our squad type, it can work sometimes. I think that was a good thing, a good adjustment. And Rossini, it obviously worked in it. So.
Lovely, yeah. Craig, what have you got?
I didn't have a like for this game, really. I guess I'll talk about the wins, stacking them up and getting the wins. But yeah, no specific like for me.
Wow, no likes. We won 3-1, didn't we?
What's happened to you, Craig? You're very negative at the moment.
Yeah.
No, like, it's only every time we start with a like, you're going to dislike straight away, and they haven't got any likes.
Unbelievable. No comment.
What's your feeling about Rossini, Craig? You seem to be a little bit down in the dumps about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Definitely not. No, I've been quite impressed with Rossini overall. I don't think.
Not enough to like anything about the.
No likes at all. Not one like.
No specific
2.2 likes. 2.2 XG. I thought that would be good for you, wouldn't it?
I'm a little bit, so I do have a dislike from the game, but yeah, nothing specifically. Shock. Likewise. Shock. I don't think, I think
what
it was it? Probably,
what's your dislike?
The like, I guess I could say is the most complete performance under Rossini in the Prem so far. Obviously Charlton was probably better than this, but
that's not saying much. Is that what you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, it was a tough watch at times. I mean, I thought we did play well though. We definitely did play well.
What's your dislike then? Hit us with that.
Dislikes is just the amount of shots we're having in games. I think Strasbourg were 18th in shots last season in Liga and 18th the year before as well. And one of the things, the carryovers that I thought might happen was that the shots would really drop off. So we had, I think, 10 shots against Crystal Palace compared to their 13. In this one, against, well, Paphos, we did end up having 21 shots, but against Brentford, we only had 6 shots versus Brentford's 15 as well. So a little bit concerning for me, even against Arsenal, I think we're very, very low shot total. 10 versus their 17. Just a little bit disappointing from that regard. I don't think you can rely on just being clinical in the Premier League in general. I think you've got to create like high shot volume to have success, really. And that's something we did do a good job of under Maresca. And slightly concerning that, you know, turning up in these games and having 10 shots or even less is probably not going to be good enough going forward.
Yeah, potentially. I also think that ultimately, well, I'll go into like my like, and which is kind of the same, carries on with it nicely, which is this guy has no experience of managing in the Premier League. He's come from very little background and he's a young coach. I think to win 4 out of your opening 5 is fairly impressive.
In any
team, really. Even if you look up and down the league, I think a lot of people would take that, including the people at the top of the league. So, yeah, like, I think low shot volume, yes, but also I think expectations need to be set that this guy is not a elite coach. And I think if he's going to walk into the club, he's not going to just set the whole thing on fire and everyone's going to be, you know, at their peak. So it's going to be a long hog with Rossinha, and it's going to do a lot of squad changes. I think the team has to be better than him in a way. Look, you have to enjoy the wins. It's been great, and this is exactly what we needed because the fixtures were really favourable for us, and he's winning them, which is exactly what we want. And like Napoli away is a game that's, you know, I think we're going to see how good he really is at the moment. And then, you know, West Ham after that, that's another game you should be winning. And they're on a bit of a, you know, bit good form. So, yeah, tough test to come, but can't say he's done too. The only game he's lost to is Arsenal, and they're top of the league and top of the Champions League. So,
and he hasn't lost a tie. Still in the tie.
Still in the tie. Yeah. Still in the hat.
It's half time. Yeah. Anyway, as we know, Arsenal bleeding goals at the moment, so we should be all right.
They are, yeah.
First Arsenal dig at this pod, there'll be many more.
Brady, did you have anything else?
I mean, my dislike was the last 15 minutes. I thought the last 15 minutes was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful. Yeah. I mean, even Rossinha, yeah. I mean, I kind of like that I've put into dislike is Rossinha is starting to tell the truth a little bit. The post-match pressure, he was starting to say things he doesn't like. He said that, you know, conceding one set piece again wasn't good enough. And the last 15 minutes were very frustrating, which I think in Rossinha language is he was fuming. He changed the system a bit. He put 5 in midfield. He put Gittins right wing.
Mm.
It was just a mess. And then Palace scored and they got really nervous and just started booting it and it turned into head tennis. It was very odd. I mean, you're thinking when it goes 3-0 and Wharton gets sent off, you're thinking 4-5 and really put a stamp on it. But it got a bit nervy at the end. They missed a big chance in the last minute. Sars header went straight to Sanchez. If it went 3-2, it might have got nervy. But the last 15 minutes was terrible. Not sure what happened there.
Yeah, it was crazy. The ball was just like up in the air for like most of it as well. Mm. Very poor. Right, we'll get into the players now. Let's do our temperatures.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
So this is the section where we're going to see who's not performing well and in the freezer and who's on top of the world and playing really well and boiling hot and some warming up in the middle. So for the freezer today, we've got Neto from Brady, Badiashile from Craig, and I've put Caicedo.
Caicedo?
Rogue? That's rogue, that.
Anyway... Let's hear from Neto because we've talked a lot about Neto, so we'll just get that out of the way.
I mean, it's getting to the point where I don't know what I've done to deserve this. Neto at left wing, it's a form of torture, to be honest. You could play Neto at left wing an interrogation camp and they just give you all the information. You don't want to watch anymore. You're done. He's awful, left wing. And he looks knackered. We've seen he said he's in the team for defensive work. He's not having a shot. He's running the ball out of play. He's not getting any accurate crosses. He's not beating a man. He's kicking the ball past the man. And they know he's basically hasn't got the legs anymore to get past him. Yeah, and the most frustrating and confusing thing, I think, with this model is there's a lot of talk of, you know, that the sporting directors have a lot of influence. I think if they're going to have any sort of influence, you've got to say, why are Gittins and Garnacho on the bench? And why is Pedro Neto starting left wing? Because it makes absolutely no sense. Because he's 90-90-90. These 90-90-90s he's getting is ridiculous. And I know he's experienced a bit more, so Rossini wants that. But, I mean, the last 750 minutes, he's got two assists and one from open play. The goal and assists have completely dried up. Like, everything that he's turned into Neto from last season a bit, where he just, nothing's happening. He's been poor for a long time and he needs to be dropped immediately. He's the worst attacking player in the team by a mile at the moment. And he needs to be dropped, as simple as that. He's stinking up the gaff, as simple as that.
Yeah, he is stinking the place up, actually, isn't he? He was dreadful. He should have been subbed 20 minutes. The match,
left wing, Neto stinker, here we go. And you're like, oh, I like Neto at left wing. And look what happened every week.
He had a bad game, Neto, for sure, yeah.
I don't know, why do you like him at left wing? You like him at left wing back, don't you, in a 3-4-3? Why do you like him at left wing?
I think he gives us good balance, Neto, when he plays left-hand side. And obviously works hard against Munoz. That was a really important tactical element of the game yesterday.
You know, you've got basically, when you've got like Enzo, Caicedo and Santos on the pitch, you've got enough water carriers. You've got enough people.
I think he wanted to leave Estevao high yesterday. Worked really well against Mitchell. Obviously caused the goal as well. But and in order to do that, you can't just have everyone up the pitch. I thought Munoz was had a really poor game yesterday, and he's one of their best players. Hasn't been playing recently for Palace. There's obviously tactical elements of having him on the left side. He played there against Arsenal as well. I thought we did a really good job against them. Up against Timber and then Ben White as well. So, yeah, I do think, there's some tactical reasons to have Neto, but definitely attacking-wise, he's looking poor on the ball, Neto, and that's concerning.
That's a fair analysis. Badiashile, the man on a mission to give goals away.
I just can't. I can't handle Badiashile in the team. On the ball, it's just like, I've had enough. Like,
oh, the tiger.
I can't watch him on the ball. You
send an apology out like a year ago.
No, I refuse. I refuse to apologise on Badiashile, didn't I?
You've sent one out already. The email's in there.
I sent an apology for Chalobah.
You sent one on Badiashile.
I borderline sent an apology for Tosin.
You did apologise on Badiashile because he came up one day. I think someone scratched his car or something and he was
I've unapologised. I've disapologised.
I mean, he is absolutely horrific. Like, once again, so he'll just give away a big chance.
Yeah, and he can't defend either, and he's so bad in the air. And yeah, I mean, it's funny, we're on the YouTube page right now. We've got our last starting 11 season averages, and there he is, Badiashile, the worst season average, 6.44. I mean, he's probably the worst player in the squad. And Tosin, it's a toss up between the two of those.
What about Dezassi? He's back now, isn't he?
But he's not playing. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. What he's doing against Arsenal in the League Cup as well, Badiashile. Christ. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's painful to watch at times. And yeah, obviously, Sanchez saved us really yesterday from going 1-0 down. I always felt like if we went 1-0 down against Palace, that would have been a disaster yesterday. He can't play, and I just find it. Not only do I can't handle the giveaways for big chances because he thinks he's good at passing, but he's just like booting the ball off the pitch all the time as well. The long balls over the top to Neto so far, like just keep them in play and give us a chance. Like just up here on his FOTMOD page, the market value of £22 million. You've got to be absolute nuts, you crackers, to pay £22 million for Benoit Badiashile. He's worthless. He's absolutely worthless.
He was dreadful. I'm going to talk about Caicedo.
This is nuts. This is just absolutely nuts. Do you know what this is before you start? This is someone who's like unbelievable week in, week out, having a game that's still really good, but not quite as good as he usually is.
No, this is someone who almost cost us the game by making a stupid tackle. And I think Caicedo, obviously the Arsenal game wasn't too long ago where he got sent off for something daft. And that was maybe a bit harsh, but he did exactly the same thing again in this game. He was booked with a really, really bad tackle where he stamped on Wharton's foot. And then he went and hacked someone again, like not too long ago. I mean,
he was playing the long game versus Wharton. He got Wharton all ramped up, and then Wharton got two yellows. He was playing the long game.
He was lucky not to be sent off. I thought he was going to get sent off. I thought he was absolute lunacy. And look, he wasn't at his best in this game anyway. And he wasn't at his best in the last game as well. Maybe he's a bit tired or something. He was suspended as well. But yeah, I don't know. I think he just needs to calm down a bit. Like, I think hacking people in their own side of the pitch, outside their 18-yard box, is absolute lunacy. Like, someone just needs to have a chat with him and say, just run at him and then stop, because he's going to release the ball. You don't need to be so aggressive there. I think he could have cost us the game, and he was lucky.
Losing his edge though. You could tone it down a bit, but
you can still be aggressive and not stamp on people's feet. I think there has to be an acceptance.
You've got to think about the amount of goals that he stops, so interceptions, and the amount of goals he scored this year as well.
That's fine, but you know he was yellow.
We almost made it through this game without a really stupid booking, but then Andre Santos kicked the ball away at the end of the game. We almost made it through.
I thought our discipline's improved quite a lot, I'd say. I would say. But yeah, Caicedo was booked in the 20th minute in this game. That's just, you can't do that in central midfield. For me, not what I want him doing. So
I just saw a stat. Declan Rice only picked up his second yellow card of the season yesterday. That was quite good. Like, that is actually impressive, to be fair.
He's mincing challenges a bit. Is he not getting in there?
I don't know if you watched Declan Rice, but I don't.
I mean, second, two yellows for two yellows. That seems.
Yeah, but I think a lot of Caicedo's yellows have just been for like descent or like keeping the ball away.
I'm saying it's
like
good to get
stuff.
Yellows, but I don't know if you're a DM. I mean, maybe Rice.
Well, he's not really a DM though. He's more of a like.
Yeah, he's been playing a bit higher, maybe. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
He got four in a row, didn't he? Four yellows in a row against Cardiff, which meant that that was for clapping against Cardiff. The Newcastle yellow card, I don't remember. He clapped the ref, didn't he? That was the Newcastle. Especially when you're going to miss the Arsenal game by doing that. It's just so incredibly stupid. Newcastle yellow, I don't remember. Villa, he got a yellow as well, and Bournemouth. That was the four games in a row that he got yellow in. I mean,
since Makélélé, I think. I mean, he's maybe better than Kante, personally. So
look, I think that I always go back, like, if you go back to the, like, so I remember Costa's first game for us, Burnley away, and he was hacked in the box, and it was a clear penalty, and the ref booked him for diving. Because throughout the game, he was getting really rough and, you know, play-acting a bit. Anyway, that just set Costa up for the rest of his time in the league. And I think Caicedo is kind of making a bit of a name for himself as someone, when he puts his foot in, they're very quick to give him a yellow. He's kind of, you don't want a reputation like that. And that's maybe why Rice isn't booked as much, because, you know, he hasn't got that PR.
Conversely, though, if you're a midfielder, I don't think you fancy going in for 50-50 with Caicedo. I think there'd be some DMs who take their foot out, to be honest.
Wharton put his foot in.
we've all played football on the playground. There's always that guy in year 11, you're like, you're not going in for 50-50 of him, he's a bit of a nutter. And it might be a bit like Caicedo. So like he must be formidable to play against physically. Like,
oh, yeah.
So for me personally, it hasn't been
if you've been sent off, that's the end of the game for us, isn't it?
I know, and the Arsenal red was really bad, but you take the rough of the smooth a bit. That would be my maybe opinion on it. But you could tone it down. Yeah.
All right, let's do warming up. Craig, you've got Reece James. Right,
yeah, so he's found it. So one of the things that Rossini has found tactically, I think, is a nice role for Reece James, where he's involved quite heavily in build-up, and in tight spaces he's really good. That wide area, picks good passes, can also like play really good long balls. And then in attack, he sort of sometimes underlaps, sometimes overlaps, but he's involved down that right side, but he sort of picks and chooses the moments that he does it. He's not asked to just sprint aimlessly down the right wing and hold the width or something like that. He's sort of involved when he wants to be as part of the attack, and tactically I guess he might have his triggers for doing that. So yeah, I quite like, you know, there's been some ups and downs with the tactical stuff with Rossini, you know, for me, but one of the nice things for me is that he's found, yeah, I think a really great role for Reece James, one that suits him really well. And I think if we can play Caicedo on that right, I know Santos sort of played a lot there yesterday, but that sort of trio of Caicedo, Estevao, James, and then Palmer and João Pedro can sort of come across a bit as well. It's such a strong right side of the pitch for us on the ball. It's really, really promising.
Yeah, I thought, I'd be honest, I didn't notice him that much in this game.
Yeah, he wasn't like massively impactful in the game or anything. I just the warming up thing was more about a sort of a long term vision for him under Rossini. I think he's got a real good chance to be very impactful. And obviously the goal came from the penalty, was him overlapping, which I know, Chris, you love from the late 90s. It's something that our right centre back in a three and build up under Rossini has done occasionally. You saw Achimpong do it a little bit against Charlton as well, where they're not overlapping very much, but they've got the option to do it, and it can create some good moments in games. So yeah, and we obviously know what Reece James is like at crossing. That was a really good cross.
Best in our team, I think, at crossing.
Yeah, I think Estevao's absolutely elite crosser as well. The cross that Estevao put in for Enzo against Liverpool before he scored the winner that was one of the best crosses I've ever seen from a left wing. I mean, it's just literally fizzed into the back post. I think Estevao can definitely cut in and shoot. I'd love to see us with someone who's a little bit better in the air than Enzo box crashing. I want to see how he would get on back post.
I know a guy.
Who's that?
Liam Delatt.
We'll come on
to him. If he stands in the right bit of the box.
We'll come on to him in boiling hot. right, Sanchez, Brady.
I mean, he was really good again. 0.9 XG prevented. He saves a 42% chance shot. He got so unlucky with their goal. He made a really good save off the line.
Oh my God, yeah. How good was that?
And then even for Chris Richards' goal, he's flying across. Like, he's only like a palm width away from it. He is this is obvious for a goalkeeper, but he is so determined to not concede. Like, he's got that, it annoys him so much when he concedes. He's got 10 clean sheets.
Annoyed me when we conceded in this game. He's had no business.
And he has got the Schmeichel bark on him a bit. He barks them. He doesn't. When he first at Chelsea, he didn't do it, but now he gets right into the defenders and has a go at them, and I like it a lot.
I think it's because he knows they're rubbish.
No, because I think he's. It's come out that he's probably one of the leaders in the group. I think.
In the leadership group.
Yeah. It came out obviously that Maignan as well had re-signed with AC Milan.
Irrelevant news that we don't care about.
What was interesting was when he was diving for the second, you know, when they scored, no one else moved. Sanchez is the only one. Yeah. He saved it and then he ran over. Everyone else is like
ridiculous.
When we do our Eskers at the end of the season, our award show, there's only one candidate for most improved player this year. There's no one else.
Enzo Fernandez.
He's really good. And it's just the high claims. I mean, every game he comes out and it's a really dangerous corner and he just comes out and just grabs it, no problem. Yeah, calms the game down. And we've had so many goals. I mean, even like, you know, Lemons against Arsenal yesterday. There's so many times where he got so lucky where he did like flimsy punch or... That's not what Rob does. I mean, he doesn't really punch it at all anymore. He just comes out and catches it. He's had that one gaff.
Apart from when he played against Arsenal and then
he had that one gaff where he got under it. And that's the only thing. And he's obviously probably faced about, I don't know, then it's probably like 100 corners this season, and he's got under one of them, you know. So
he could choose Arsenal's his bogey team. I think he can't play him.
Yeah, but he's just a really good goalkeeper, and it's just the stigma's gone. You know, it's just simple.
I think
it is
gone now. Yeah, I do think it is. It's gone. I mean, you're never too far away from a gaff, but it is gone.
No goalkeeper is though. Like, even if he made a couple more gaffes this season, they'd be like, "Well, I think he still had a really good season." You know,
yeah.
Like they're really rare now. So yeah.
Yeah, he was probably the second best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
I put Santos. I thought he had a really good game. He's just sort of, I don't know. He's fairly consistent actually, Santos, but I think what I really like about him is how quickly he moves the ball. I thought he had a few wayward passes in the game, but generally when he gets it, his awareness is unbelievable to play quick passes. And
the best thing about Santos is just how competitive he is in the middle of the park. I mean, he 6 or 7 ground jewels won. He's so on it, competing for the ball in midfield. Him and Caicedo are a pretty formidable duo in terms of ball winning. I mean, they're really strong. It's I know Rossini had compared Santos to Dunga, who's obviously a Brazilian legend. I think he's quite intelligent, Santos, I've got to say as well. Like, positionally, he played that sort of fill-in centre-back role for us in this game, which we haven't really seen Chelsea play. And yeah, he's very tactically aware. Obviously, he's familiar with Rossini and some of the things that he's got asked to do from Strasbourg. But I've been pretty impressed with Santos recently. Like you say, obviously, some giveaways in this game were questionable, where he tries to do things a little bit too fast. I'd be concerned about Santos against really good teams. Like, I'm not sure I'd play him against Arsenal.
He's 21 though, isn't he?
Yeah. No,
that's nuts.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player. I mean, we might need an apology from Brady on Santos.
Yeah, this could actually be an apology from Brady.
Could be an apology moment, Brady. I think.
We're nowhere near apology. Give a few more games. What I will say is, there's always players who, when a new manager comes in, they improve, and he's one of them. And he's clearly one of Rossini's guys from Strasbourg, and he knows how to use him. So. My issue with Santos has always been when he's been further up the pitch. He's awful further up the pitch. I mean, Maresca was playing him.
I don't think that's true at all.
Maresca played him in. Maresca at Nottingham Forest first half in the 10. That's probably the worst performance I've seen this season. He was awful, and he didn't want to be there. Like,
he's not a 10. He's not a 10, is he?
He was so advanced. He didn't want. Not that he didn't want to play for Chelsea, but he was like, "What am I doing playing this position?"
So, like, Chris, you think you still think he's good at 10? I mean, Rossini's playing him as basically one of the
centre-backs.
I would
never play him as a 10. That's crazy. Definitely as an 8, I think he could be.
What have you seen from him at the top end of the pitch that makes you think?
I think there's enough I've seen of his vision for passing that means that he can, I think if he was leading us in a 4-on-3, he would make a really good choice. And I've seen him do that numerous times.
Okay, he's not calm enough for shooting in final third. He's very clumsy.
I think he is good at shooting. We've never really seen him shoot.
He's very clumsy for shooting.
For good reason.
I'll give half apology.
Half apology. He looks solid in what he does. But what I said was, I don't want him anywhere near the goal. And that's still true, to be honest. I mean, Enzo, it was similar to Enzo about a year or two ago.
I've always said for Santos, the Conor Gallagher comp, I'm going to stick with that.
Comp for him. By the way, he can improve. Enzo used to be the same. He's improved his shooting and box crashing massively. And he actually turns over goals and assists now. But Fernandez was the same for a while.
Enzo Fernandez, isn't the leading XG for midfielders in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's massively improved.
Is that with penalties, though?
I don't think so, actually.
No. Would likely be.
I'll double check that,
he was under 21 Brazil captain, and he's been in Brazil squad for ages. He's a good player. He's very technically very good, but won't get a full apology yet. I don't want him near the goal at all. I mean, he's one goal this season. Against Wolves away in the League Cup. And that was a P-roller. I mean, the goalkeeper could have saved that with his eyes shut. I don't know why he didn't save it.
Yeah, non-Pen XG, he's leading midfielders.
That's what I told you when Madueke scored his hat-trick against Wolves, but he didn't listen.
He's well clear of centre-mids as well.
I don't have anything.
As in, like, you're like, oh, why didn't the Wolves keep saving? So, yeah, he lets in a lot, that guy.
Verts is actually second in midfielders for non-penalty.
Vertsy. Oh, dear. We'll come on to him.
Enzo's got 6.99. Enzo's up there with, like, Ollie Watkins and like, Evan Nielsen and, like, João Pedro for non-penalty this season.
He's extremely good at boss crushing.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Boiling hot. I think me and Brady have got Estoril, but we could talk quickly about Pedro.
Yeah. Brady, I mean, João Pedro won the man of the match. On Sky. I mean, I thought he was absolutely brilliant, João Pedro. Picked and chose his moments to hold the ball up, to be a little bit faster with the ball as well. I mean, I've said it for the last few weeks. I think he's really settled into playing nine. I think he's still learning the position a bit. And it's weird to say, obviously, because you think João Pedro, you know, he's just turned 24. But 24 is still, you know, he's still learning stuff, you know, coming to a big club. He was obviously moved about the formation for Brighton last year, didn't stick at nine at all. So I think he's learning and growing. And one thing I would say about him, very talented player. I mean, you know, he's got a lot of, inside the box, a lot of skill, a lot of ability to finish. You know, he's... I'm really excited about João Pedro. People have been sort of down on him, and we need a striker desperately. And I think João Pedro has improved a lot this season.
I think he's been learning. It's like when he was in the Club World Cup, like Palmer was basically just putting everything on a plate for him, and he was finishing it quite nicely. Like,
he's got some absolute bangers. That was pretty harsh.
But like,
he had 30 yards.
Yeah, but he had a lot of service in those games because he's playing with Palmer. Okay. He hasn't been playing with Palmer most of the season, and it shows because the creativity in the team has been horrendous, which is why the results have been very up and down. Even in this game, right? I mean, what, they booted the ball to us. The creativity in the team is quite low, generally. I mean, that's a big factor in it. And I think but when he gets a chance, Pedro, he's pretty deadly. I mean, even the goal against Brentford is just like a blot. It's a block. That's, you know, he's got it, but he's got a hell of a finish on him. So, yeah, he'll get more goals and more chances he gets, but we've got to give him more chances. He's not getting enough chances in the game for me. I think Tottenham away was probably the first time where he had like a few different chances in the game.
I mean, we were really good in that game, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
completely dominated.
Yeah,
that game.
Tottenham are not very good, are they? But yeah, that was probably the only game really. But apart from that, I think he's been fine. He's just kind of learning. He's got weight.
Non-pen goals in the Premier League. He's fourth with eight.
Just looking at that, joint fourth.
So I think more to
he's
come.
He's had a really good season, João Pedro,
is what I'd say. I think there's more to come. I think once we get a few people in the summer, Palmer might be back. I think next season I can see him getting a lot more.
He's got a goal and assist every 150 minutes in the league. I think, I can't remember the last time somebody, I wonder what the last time a Chelsea striker scored two goals in a row in the league with his weak foot. Because he scored two goals with his left foot, one against Brentford and one against Palace. I mean, he can shoot with both feet, which is massive for a striker. And he absolutely done Adam Wharton. I mean, Adam Wharton came flying across, he cut in, he's so cool in the box. And he'll win penalties doing that when people fly across him. And I actually thought he was pretty strong in the air. I think he's improving in the air a little bit, his hold up's getting better. Like at Watford he was way more of a right winger, left winger kind of that thing, and then Brighton he was like a hybrid. He started here as a kind of hybrid, but yeah, he is growing into the nine. I am still a bit worried about nine because I think the lap's a bit of a problem, but we'll have to wait and see.
What were your predictions for his goals assists this year, Pedro? Did we do a prediction?
I think if we said 12 would be good, right?
Yeah, I mean he's going to get 12 goals probably.
But I said like 12, and then Delap will get 12. Delap's not really old. I know he's had no minutes, but I mean, I'm still not sure Pedro, you know, game 1 to 38 is going to get you enough goals to be an elite team.
I think you get 15 goals.
Yeah.
But we're only halfway through the season. I mean, it's the end of January. You could definitely get up the braces.
Other than Haaland, there's not an elite nine, is there? I mean, Man United are playing a boomer nine. You know, Gokeres and, I mean, I'm not that Gokeres is good, but he dropped Gokeres with Gabriel Jesus. You know, you probably need two strikers who chip in, you know, a bit more.
Yeah.
But then that is, yeah, a bit of a problem in the other part of the nine. But Pedro's all round game is very good, and he's a senior player, really. And he's first season.
Quite like it, the urgency that João Pedro plays with as well. When we need a goal, he's quite an urgent player. There's a lot to like about João Pedro, to be honest.
But I'm a big fan of the link-ups, like Kane and Son. You're already seeing that of Estevao and Palmer in the summer now. Estevao and João Pedro. You're seeing those little link-ups. You know, you're starting to build relationships, and that's good.
Yeah, and he's tall, which is good. I like tall players. Estevao, the magic man, Craig.
Yes, yeah, so it wasn't my. I Pedro is boiling hot, but I can talk about Estevao briefly because, you know my thoughts on Estevao. This is one of the jewels in the Clear Lake recruitment strategy is that the ability to get players like this that Chelsea have never signed before. To have an 18-year-old playing at this level. I've said it before on the pod. He's good enough to be considered the best player in the world at some point, which we haven't had players like that barely ever at Chelsea. So yeah, exciting.
We've had a few.
Not that he's considered the best player in the world.
I think Hazard would. Oh well, yeah, but it's hard with Messi and Ronaldo. Like you never.
Yeah, maybe you'd say it's bad luck. But yeah, I mean, apart from Hazard, I mean,
you could maybe say Terry was the best.
Kante, Terry.
Yeah, but when you're talking about at the time, centre backs.
He was a Ballon d'Or, wasn't he? Up in there. He was quite
contender. Yeah, but I don't think anyone. Those two players were obviously unbelievable, but you wouldn't say. When you're talking about the best players in the world, it's always, you know, wingers.
I think he's the best teenage talent. I mean, probably getting there in Chelsea history for talent.
Yeah, I think we'd agree with that. Yeah.
Whether he develops, I mean, we all hope that
the development
grows into the man. But as an 18-year-old, you've got to think, I've never seen as good an 18-year-old play for Chelsea.
Never. Nah. It's not even close, actually.
Yeah, he's got such an adultness about him. Yeah. I know you do forget
that he's 18 years old sometimes.
I don't like firing shots at this guy. But I was thinking when he was through on goal, because Nick Jackson missed a 1-on-1 last year against Palace. And I was going through and I was like, this would usually be Jackson on the last man, maybe on his left. And he just took a little extra touch just about. And his goal is so good because Henderson is a really good goalkeeper this year. And he put it in the middle of the goal and it still went in. Like, that isn't even his, like, if Estevao did that 10 times, that's probably in the bottom two or three finishes that he would want. Does that make sense? Because he put it in the middle of the goal. So really,
he took it in awkward time as well.
But it's the power. He can just get so much power with barely any backlift. That shot in the second half where Henderson made a really good save.
He almost scored for that. Yeah.
There's no backlift. And there's the players who have no backlift and they can generate it. And you can tell that, like, although he's obviously quite slim at the moment, he might eventually be got a bit of a stocky player because he's already bulking up a little bit.
Yeah,
and like he's going to be quite strong and he's mentally very strong. Yeah, like, he was squaring up to Gabriel in the Arsenal home leg. I mean, Gabriel's intimidating, isn't he? A counterpart for his country. I mean, yeah. Wow.
He's just zero
medals for Gabriel. Anyway, another Arsenal dig there. It was a 0.2x XG chance, and he made it look like a better chance than it was. So, and you know, Tyreek Mitchell, very good defender, made it difficult for him, stayed with him pace wise, forced him out, and he still scored. And it was a huge moment.
I think that was also, well, it's two things. He seems to be quicker with the ball than he is without it, which is quite unusual. But also he was keeping him. It's really good. But he's very good he's very aware in that position not to give too much away. So he was moving a lot to make sure that, and he could have gone down and got the red, I think. And he probably, you know, he 100% would have got Mitchell sent off. But the fact that he wanted to score for me is much more telling. And that's exactly what we needed. We needed the goal. So,
by the way, when Palmer's back, because usually they like double or triple mark Palmer, but you can't triple mark and double mark both of them. Something's got to give. Like,
we've barely seen Estevao play with Palmer.
Like, if you have Palmer 10 in the
so
right pocket,
to think about those
Palmer
two.
In the right pocket.
Where's
10,
Enzo playing then? Who you dropping for Palmer out of interest? Enzo.
Santos.
Whereas Santos being dropped and Enzo's moving back to be terrible next to him.
That's why this Enzo is interesting because although he's really, really good advanced, if you can get 100 million for him, it's interesting because he's a really, really good player, Enzo Fernandez.
You can't play Palmer as a 10 in every game. That's the thing. Not just because of his.
I think they've got plans to make Estevao 10 in the future. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, so, I think strategically as well, just the different games where that midfield, it won't be Santos, maybe, you know, let's say we sign a player like Wharton or a player like Anderson or something. You know, if we play Anderson, Caicedo, Enzo as a trio in midfield in some games, you know, it's a completely different profile and still have the wingers. You can still play Palmer and Estevao on the wings in a 4-3-3. There'll just be games where we can't just play two sitters and then Palmer at 10, basically, I think.
I think I've watched enough of Wharton now to be a bit concerned about it.
Yeah, don't forget that.
I mean, he was getting out-dogged by a couple of, like...
I'll be honest, the Wharton...
I don't like him in that 3-4-3 Wharton.
Anderson as well.
He just needs to sit.
Hype job.
Nah, Anderson's much better than Wharton, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a hype job, though.
No, he's not.
And because
Anderson's
he's English...
nowhere near a hype
and
job.
Because we're buying from a Premier League team, they'll, like, charge us an outrageous amount that isn't worth it. It's like Rodgers. It's not worth the money. Like, you... Like you're paying 40-50% tax because they're English.
Yeah,
and you're selling,
and also just because they're playing in the Premier League.
He is like a £50 million player, and you said tops.
Yeah,
like he's paying $100 million for him. Come on.
And by the way, obviously Anderson is a great, like you say, he's a great player. He's a £50-60 million player, but yeah, you're not getting him for under $100 million. Just leave that for United or someone, you know, to make an awful buy like that. Just we're happy.
I don't really want him going to United.
Good question. Are you starting Estevao? He probably won't. But are you starting Estevao versus Napoli? Because I probably would.
I think he started.
Did he end up getting 90 minutes against?
No,
Palace.
He got 74 minutes against
no, he
Palace.
Him.
Yeah, I wonder if he will start him against Napoli. Because we've
definitely
got
the
next game coming up for Chelsea after Napoli is a little bit of an easier game, isn't it? It's West Ham at home.
Is that easy?
Well, easier.
That's a little bit of
our next three games: Napoli away, West Ham at home, Arsenal away. I think there's one of the games that's significantly easier than the other two. So, I think I would start Estevao against Napoli.
The reason why this was actually a really big win, sorry to interrupt, is we have our next four in the league are West Ham at home, Wolves away, Leeds at home, Burnley at home. You do not get a better run than that in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's tripling up in FPL on Chelsea. Everyone's on wildcard, triple Chelsea. You're not going to get a better run. And if we can get 12 points out of 12, top four's looking a lot better. I mean, it's not secure, but this is actually...
The worst thing could be if we finish that run and a team is actually above us, because then we are in a bit of trouble.
This is the only chance we have to put pressure on Villa. I mean, Villa will very likely finish ahead of us, obviously, the 9 points in front, obviously. But... This is our chance to put Pete on them.
Yeah.
And we still have to play them. So, yeah. That's what I say.
I was told Villa are catchable, though.
Well, they are catchable. They are catchable, but it was very disappointing that they did that. I thought Newcastle would turn them over. So,
I mean, they should have when you look at the actual game. But, yeah.
Anyway. Estevao's good. Not anything new. Estevao's very good.
Estevao is the man. Right. We ready to go around the grounds?
Yes.
No enthusiasm from Brady.
Come on, Brady.
No, it was like, yes, exciting.
We're off to the London Stadium. West Ham 3, Sunderland 1.
Yeah, West Ham confirmed down by me a few weeks ago. I've put them in the Championship. So that's where they will be.
Wow.
Bowen saved my FPL week, and I mean, West Ham are fighting. They're all fighting. I mean, two wins in a row, massive.
Sunderland's cruise to the top. Looks like it's coming down. Big shame. Big shame. Burnley 2, Tottenham Hotspur 2.
Lucky old Spurs getting the last minute equaliser. But yeah, I mean, Frank has got one. They don't want to sack Frank because it's going to cost them so much money, but he's got one chance in the Champions League to get that top eight. I think if they lose to Frankfurt, he's in big trouble because Spurs have got City at home, United away, Newcastle at home, Arsenal at home in their next four games. And I mean, it's bleak for Spurs if they can't get into that top eight with Frankfurt, the game against Frankfurt. And Frankfurt, I think, are awful, right? They're 33rd in the out of 36 teams in the Champions League, and I think they're not even in the other eighth in the Bundesliga. So they're a dreadful team this season as well.
Rank on the plank, I must say.
This is actually a really disappointing draw for Burnley. I think should have won this one. Fulham 2.
Oh my god! Brighton, talking about teams that run good. Fulham, I mean, how lucky have they got this season with their results? Like, they're not playing that well, Fulham, but they're getting so lucky getting that wins. Harry Wilson having the career year at age, what is he, 28? 28 out of nowhere.
It's good, isn't it? It's good to see that.
Oh, I hate Fulham.
Wow. Fulham. Heard it here first.
Fulham? Why do you hate Fulham? Who likes Fulham?
Rubbish team. Absolutely nothing team.
They're our West Ham neighbours, mate. Chelsea's in Fulham, technically, the ground.
Yeah, rubbish.
Careful, mate, when you're in the walking around Fulham saying things like that, I tell you.
Brighton down to 12th. And,
what a shocker. That's where they'll finish. I mean, honestly,
they'll
bet
be
your
sliding
house on,
down the leagues.
Bet your house on Brighton between 9th and 12th every year. They're really good for a bit, and then they go off a bit, and then they're good for a bit, and they go off a bit. It's like a kettle, on and off and off and on and off.
Yeah,
rubbish.
Yeah, be careful what model you're following, I think.
Yeah.
Manchester City 2, Wolves 0.
I think Wolves have actually started to play like decently well. We played Wolves at a really good time when they were absolutely horrendous. They actually turned a bit of a corner, Wolves. I don't think they're going to be able to actually salvage anything from it this season, but yeah, they're playing a lot better. But yeah, obviously, very tough
ask. Pep Roulette, he rested Haaland and Foden for the titles charge to come, so that was good. And yeah, get your Man City shirts, the SCR store. Come on, City.
And Semenyo, he's getting more goals than some of our wingers for City already.
He looks pretty good, that Semenyo. I wonder if we have a little sniff. In...
Yeah.
He's back to his first Premier League goal.
Funny what money buys you, isn't it?
I wonder what that conversation was like. How much is he? 65 million? Anyway, yeah, thank you for your conversation. Right, see you later.
will you do 20?
How old is he? Oh, God, no. Sorry, I've got the wrong number. Sorry, mate.
Bournemouth 3, Liverpool 2.
Oh, this was such a good game. The 5:30 on Saturday, really enjoyed watching it. And yeah, thoroughly deserved win for Bournemouth.
Windy, I heard. That's about what I've got.
Yeah, it's another poor one for Slot. And these poor results just keep coming. I think not many wins in this and that unbeaten run he had. Yeah.
It's obvious, but they obviously might look at Alonso in the summer.
Yeah. Brentford 0, Nottingham Forest 2. They sheathed.
Sliced and diced. Yeah,
very Brentford. Surprising, this result. Very surprising.
It was surprising, and obviously, as you might imagine, it was a bit of a pooping down at the GTEC. Pooped, yeah. But yeah, look, this is, I think the commentary that I heard on the highlights was, and a one year's done it, and Forest, they haven't had any touches in the opposition box this half, and it's 2-0.
Hey, looks like they're going to get Mateta as well. I mean, what a dice signing that is. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, exactly.
I actually quite like their forward, that Igor Jesus. I quite like him. I think he's...
2 weeks in a row where 2 weeks in a row where Brentford peppered their opposition and got beat 2-0.
Justice.
I tell you what, they're heading off to Villa Park on Saturday. They do a good result with their good performances.
Yeah, that's it. Speaking of Villa, Newcastle 0, Aston Villa 2.
Yeah,
I mean, how good are Aston Villa running in the league here? They are currently 18 points above EV, so they should be 3 points behind Spurs, if you believe the stats.
Exactly.
But they've got the fourth highest goal difference in the league.
The thing of Villa is, I mean, fair play to them. Bendy, Rodgers, they've scored a lot of long shots. The quality's there, they're just... It's a very robust team.
It's not sustainable, is it?
We've been a bit like that recently. Like, that Brentford game, that reminded me of how Villa are winning games. They're not really that
or
great.
Playing badly and winning.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like they're hanging in there. They're robust.
I think the general idea is to play well, isn't
well,
it?
Well, like, that João Pedro
What is
goal,
playing
really
well,
did...
though? What is playing well? Yeah. Chelsea well, won a lot of... Well, Chelsea won a lot of trophies not playing well.
Usually at the end of games, we always agree, basically, did we play well, did we not? There's no actual definition in the dictionary of what a football team looks like when they play well, but at the end of the games, you usually walk away and you're like, yeah, Chelsea played really well today. And at the end of the Brentford game, no one was walking away thinking, wow, we played really well today.
Can you, if you don't score a penalty, is it a good penalty?
That's the timeless question, Chris.
There you go. It's all about winning. Forget about the performances.
Don't know what that means, but yeah.
Right, Arsenal 2, Manchester United 3.
I said Bournemouth Liverpool was a fantastic game. This was actually a fantastic game as well. And yeah, Cunha's surfing celebration at the end. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Arsenal, wheels are off.
Tell you, man. Every year, usually it's November. It's a bit late this year. I mean, they still might do it, but the meltdown on X and Twitter yesterday, whatever, on social media, they're still 4 points clear now. The thing with that is, Matt Law tweeted on the game, they already think they're going to bottle it, and they're 4 points clear. And that will obviously feed into the players, you know, when they're playing in the Emirates. It's so nervy. I think they've come second three times in a row, right? Is it three or four already? It's three times in a row they've come second.
So obviously, they had the 0-0 against Liverpool, and then the next Premier League game, 0-0 against Forest, and now they lost 3-2 at home to United. It's poor. You've got to say it's poor.
Yeah, but their fans are just... Because like the atmosphere at the ground is really bad.
Do you think they're supposed to be
cheering the team on to try and win the league, but they haven't won in so long, and they're almost like arrogant that they're like, "Oh, what's this performance? What are you doing?" There's no easy games in this league. You've got to fight and earn it, and like there's going to be a few fluke, you know, freak goals, whatever, and you got to take it, but you got to come back. And if they'd drawn 3-3, which they could have done, in the game, it would have been a fine result. And their fans are just crazy. I mean, half of them had left before, like, gone out for, like, drinks at half-time. Like, it's just... I don't get what the fans are just weird. Like...
It reminds me of... I'm actually wearing a Formula 1 top. It reminds me of a Formula 1 car when they're 10 seconds in front and there's someone chasing them and they're just managing their tyres and they're just trying to get to the finish line and they're not actually racing. Do you know what I mean? They're just trying to hang on, hoping the city falter. There's so many games where Arteta is happy with a point. I mean, even that game at Stamford Bridge, like, where it was 1-1 and we had 10 men, they were like, oh, that's a good point for us. It's like, no. It's like, there's so, like, Forest away, this game. There's so many games where he is too defensive. Eze is not getting a look in because he doesn't work hard enough. It's very odd. And he's just going ultra defensive.
They've got Leeds away next in the Prem. And Leeds are 5.5-1 to win the game. I mean, Leeds at home against Arsenal. I mean, they're winning under 20%? I don't know. They've got a chance.
I mean, they've got Leeds away and Brentford away the next two. That's tricky. That's tricky.
And don't forget the Chelsea League Cup semi as well.
No, don't worry about that. We're going to win that 3-0. See you at Wembley.
that's a nice little doddle for them. They can just put out the second string for that one.
No. We'll have Matt away, okay. Mr. Thank you, Chelsea. You're welcome.
Yeah, and congratulations to him on his anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations.
Also,
365 days without a goal in the Premier League.
I know John Terry did this, but there's some records that are just not meant to be broken, yeah? 15 goals, you're all giving it that in October. It's not even February, and the record's gone. Just know the levels, yeah? Just know the levels, thank you. That's all.
Nice to keep that, isn't it?
That's never getting broken, that record.
It won't ever get broken, yeah. It's not even close. I'd like to speak to the guy who told me that Arsenal were on pace to do it back in September. It's like, that's not how on pace works, mate.
No. I think if they were at, like, 5 now, I'd be, like, about on pace.
The way they're going, they're going to concede, like, you know, a goal a game or 30,
they'll concede, like,
goals.
20...
They've only conceded 4 less than... They've only conceded 4 less than Man City. I mean, it's not...
Yeah. They're a really, really good defence, but... The thing I've always said is Arsenal's defence will win them the league. And if that starts faltering, look at Saka. Saka does not score goals. When was the last time? He didn't do anything in the game. They have so many players who are just Odegaard, washed. But they're just... I'm
What I would say is, if you really, if you want to get Arsenal, yeah, long shots. This guy Raya, look at his positioning for that Kenya goal. Bit he's standing in the wrong place.
Bit of a Kepa.
He can't save long shots. He's dreadful at them. Anyway. Right, Everton Leeds is on tonight, and that is currently 0-0.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't,
What, Moisey? right, we're going to go. We've been around the grounds, and you get. We're going to pop off to Naples and give our predictions for the Champions League. It's a big game because everything's on the line, so to speak.
They got absolutely destroyed Napoli at the weekend. They lost 3-0 to Juventus.
Juventus are a good team this season, guys. I did tell you that. Eight, Chelsea are currently eighth in the Champions League, so a win, basically, I think a decent win, basically guarantees it, I think. There's probably some, I think, certainly guaranteed
there's
it
one,
if we
two, three, four,
if we
five,
win like 3 or 4 now.
Seven games, there's seven teams on 13 points. Very tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, but they all won't win. Yeah, if any win, I think is it gets us into the top eight.
I think 1-0. I think we can still win 1-0 or something and not go through. I think.
It's weird because unfortunately,
probably, yeah.
If we think all the way back to our Carabag, we would have been on 15. That was a poor result.
I think if we win 1-0, you'd have to Real Madrid, Liverpool, Spurs, PSG, Newcastle, Barcelona, and Sporting. Or one of Sporting, City and Atletico would all have to win, and Atalanta. Like, I just don't, can't see that happening.
The fixtures won't have that either. So yeah, we'll see. Predictions, team first. Who do you think's going to play?
I don't think it'll be far off the team that we just played against Palace. I think Fofana will definitely come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who for?
come on.
So
and I think Cole, Palmer will play for Santos. So I think they'll play Enzo and Caicedo. There's a chance actually Garnacho plays that game for Neto as well.
I don't think he's going to play Palmer. I don't think he's fit.
I think he'll play Garnacho left, Neto right, João Pedro up top, 10, Enzo, Palmer in 10, and Enzo and Caicedo, I think.
I think he's going to play Dilap up front.
Oh, God.
I think he's going to put Neto on the right, Garnacho on the left, and I think he's going to put Pedro in the 10.
Why on earth would you start
Enzo Caicedo behind him?
Now they're saving Palmer for this game. They are. It's the money game. That Palmer will start this game.
He's barely played.
I agree.
He will start. They're just thinking. He probably could have started Sunday or played. All right, let's not risk it.
I don't think you can play Enzo next to Caicedo in this sort of game. I think that's a huge risk.
But they're not going to drop Enzo. This is the Enzo problem. They're not going to drop him on left.
The beginning of the end. Predictions for the game then. Result.
Scott McTominay to score a header, but Chelsea to win 2-1.
I don't think we're going to win this game. I think it'd be 1-1. I think it's a very, very difficult game to win.
I don't think Napoli are as good as people think they were last season, definitely.
Oh, Gusto, by the way. Don't forget about Gusto and James in midfield. That actually could be the play. That could be the play.
But I think at home, Napoli, I just can't see them not winning, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what.
It's going to be 1-0 Napoli.
I don't back them to win. I think it'll be a draw. But if Chelsea win this game, I'll be very impressed, and it'll be a real statement of like we're going up the levels.
I agree.
I'll say that.
I think Chelsea away from home, generally against decent teams, we haven't done well in the Champions League this season at all. So no. I don't think there's anything to suggest we're going to go there and.
And Conte will have them so fired up against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, they have to win.
Yeah.
They have to win. So yeah, I can see us losing this one. Unfortunately,
that might suit us though. Hit them on the break.
So, Romelu Lukaku came off the bench for Napoli at the weekend.
Oh, no. Get Chalobah on.
Don't we still employ him? Did we actually sell Lukaku? We still like
him. We sold him, yeah. We got an amazing price for Lukaku, by the way. No one even talks about it. I think we got 30 million for him.
Yeah.
Considering he was on 325k. Yeah, 30 million euros.
The last time we beat Arsenal, it was him, Havertz, and Mount up front. That's mad, isn't it? Wasn't that long ago?
Yeah,
he was robbed of a Carabao Cup final goal.
It's a big test for us. on Wednesday night. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Big test for Rossini. See what he's got up his sleeve. It's his first
against an elite manager.
I'd say it's not a shot to nothing, but it's not too, you know, it's.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're in the next.
If we draw or lose, it's not great. In some regard, if we can really, if we, you know, it's a little bit of a free roll, Rossini, in that sense, you know. If we win this game, his stock's going to go way up. Like, wow.
The problem is he doesn't want to lose this game and then, you know, West Ham.
Yeah.
And then he's going to Arsenal. It can go wrong very quickly. These
yeah,
sort
even
of
the Arsenal game, we're already, it's the League Cup, we're already goal down. It's, you know.
Mbappe has 11 goals in the Champions League this year. It's crazy.
Penalty king.
Three
still,
penalties and eight
he
goals.
He still won't crap the other team off, though, will he?
I think most of his goals came against one team, probably.
Kylian Mbappe with 11, Harry Kane with 7 in second, and then Anthony Gordon in third with 6 with Erling Haaland.
Shows you the quality of the Champions League, doesn't it? And none of those teams are at the top.
All the big name strikers, Mbappe, Kane, Haaland, and Osman.
I've heard Harry Kane might be on the move in the summer. We have a little sniff or.
Newcastle are above us in the Champions League.
But 5 goals, by the way, for Fermin Lopez, who's been linked with us this week.
He just got a new contract, Fermin Lopez, so yeah. He won't be joining Chelsea.
Let's talk about Anselmino quickly.
Good to have him back. One for the.
Not a dry eye in the house watching his video leaving. I mean, he was in sheds of tears of that. I don't know why they've done it, to be honest.
What do you mean?
Well, what's the sense behind it? He won't get a minute for Chelsea. Like, he won't play.
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, he's fifth choice. He's fourth choice centre back.
Well,
he's coming into Chelsea as either the second or third best centre back at the club.
No. What's his minute?
Who's better than him? Who's better than him?
Craig.
So just tell me on the Chelsea squad
why are you shouting? He loves Anselmino. Have you seen it? Have you paid 1 minute for Chelsea?
I do like Anselmino, but what I especially don't like is some of our centre backs.
He's like really a lot better than Chalobah. How do you know that? Right? How do you know right now?
No. He's
never played a Premier League game, has he?
So I just said he's our third, potentially our third best centre back. Who you said no chance? Who's better than Anselmino?
If he's the best, why was he on loan? He obviously can't be that good, can he?
I think they've brought him back. Because they're going to have a go at that Xhaka guy and they do it like a leverage thing.
He'll be going back on loan, I reckon.
Yeah.
By the end of the month.
we will see.
There's a fixture on Friday the 13th of February at Hull and I'll look forward to seeing him there if he's still knocking around.
Me too.
I look forward to his 10-minute cameo against Arsenal when we're 6-2 down in a tie.
When Badiashile's in the back of our own net.
You guys just love Badiashile and tossing.
I don't think it's great. It's like you're bringing the kid back. He's obviously distraught to leave because he's having a really good loan.
I don't think that wasn't the takeaway I got from that video at all. I thought he just was connected with his teammates and he's just sad to leave.
Great. Here's a question for you.
Distraught to leave.
Here's a question for you. Who would he get more minutes now back at Chelsea or staying at Dortmund?
I don't know, but probably stay at Dortmund.
You don't know.
Stop
talking rubbish, Craig.
He's playing every week.
Stop sitting on the fence.
He's not been playing every week at all.
Absolute splinters.
He's got 306. He's got 368 minutes in the Bundesliga this season.
He's injured half a team.
No, that's 3.5 games worth of minutes.
That is quite low. Actually.
Come on, guys. Know your stuff before you start taking me on about Anselmino.
Anselmino would have got more minutes at Dortmund than he would have got that he's going to get at Chelsea. Fact.
Well, we'll never know the answer to that, but
we will because you can do a quick maths calculation.
What's the maths calculation?
How many games they got left, and how many games Chelsea got left?
Firstly, I really rate Anselmino. I think he's really, really promising player. I rated him coming in to the club, and then he's had some really, really good performances for Dortmund this year.
I know you were an avid Boca Junior fan about a year ago, watching all these games. So that's good to know that he was doing some.
I really rate him, and I think as well that he can play right back for us as well, and play the build up in a three, which is what Rossini wants to do. There's a chance I think that Rossini wants to play some 3-4-3 this season.
What's the odds on Anselmino being in the Chelsea squad in August? Very low.
Ooh, interesting. Very, would you take that bet, Craig?
Very low.
You rate him very highly, so you obviously think he's not going to be sold or loaned.
I don't know if he's going to be loaned going forward. I mean, he's only 20 years old, but I do rate him highly, yeah.
It can't be that good if you're not sure if he's going to stay.
Off to Leipzig, mate. Have fun.
Whatever happens. No one knows what's happening, to be honest with you. There's a load of noise, but there hopefully might be some action as we come up to the end of the window.
I don't think we're going to be in action, is there?
Well, Fabrizio Romano has today come out and said, Chris, can you read the quote?
He always says that. It's
Saturday. Pipe. It's
Chelsea
night.
Are going to be busy in the final days of January. They want to make some moves. Chelsea are assessing their centre-back option still, even after the recall of Anselmino. And there's different names in the midfield list, other than Douglas Luiz, who still remains an option.
They're trying to drive down the Jacquet price. It's basic economics. Like, well, we've got Anselmino back, mate, so we don't actually need him. So... can come down the price.
The problem is if this Jacke guy is actually decent and people want him, they don't need to sell him. So it's just a rubbish move anyway.
It's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. But yeah, I'm looking forward to answering.
Well, if you want him, go sign him. If this Jacke guy is good, just sign him.
Yeah, that's not how business really works, is it?
Get Cole Will back.
That's the United strategy, isn't he? Not 80 million for Sancho.
Well, they've gone
just get him. He's class.
United have gone from about 16th to 4th, so it's pretty good.
Just get him. Pay anything.
There's three things Chelsea got to do at centre back. Get Levi Colwell back. Get Fofana playing 3 games a week, and take Fofana's driver license away and get him a chauffeur. those are the three things that Chelsea got to do at centre back, and then we'll be sweet. Other than that, I don't care.
We'll take over Fofana's points total soon, I think. We're at 37, so we've still got a way to go. Right, that's it for today. Oh, did we get? Yeah, we've done our predictions. Look, that's it. Thank you very much, guys.
No worries.
For more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. And as always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.